Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. As always, we're broadcasting to you live from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma, live online as well at kpcg.fm. It has been really exciting to see local businesses here in Oklahoma opening back up. We went out to a restaurant yesterday that had just their patio open. We also went to the mall. So finally, things are starting to get back to normal a little bit. But with that being said, those obviously can't be the focus of our lives, those physical things. How much do you love the way of this world? This world's way is directly opposite to the way of God's work. And here is what Jesus Christ said about that. This is Matthew 6, starting in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or materialism. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? A lot of people can easily misconstrue verse 25 to mean that we shouldn't care about physical things at all. We should actually have a really low physical standard. All that's saying is to actually put God first. The context of Matthew 6 makes that clear. If we put the spiritual things first, God provides all the physical things we need and also a whole lot of the physical things that we want. He'll even give us most of our desires if we put Him first. It's not something that we have to put a lot of thought into in terms of being worried about providing for ourselves, because God provides. But this is what Christ said. This was Christ's singular focus. He served one master, and that was His Father in heaven. He had one job. In John 4, verse 34, He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Christ came to the earth to declare His Father and to finish God's work. He wasn't serving the way of the world. He wasn't distracted by the way of the world. He had a singular focus. He was locked in on His mission. That's what made Him so overwhelmingly successful. That's an example that all of us can follow today as we do God's work. There are literal ways we can measure how dedicated we are to God's work versus how infatuated we might be with worldliness. God's work does depend on fervent support, not just from members of the Philadelphia Church of God, but from everybody, from everyone involved with supporting the work. There's a variety of ways to do that. And the more passionately each one of us is at supporting the work, the more successful the work will be, and the faster it will get done. So this isn't just a subject for members of the church, this is probably even more relevant to non-members. Just to be reminded of where the priorities must be. It helps to remember why God's work exists in the first place. This work has a responsibility to warn the entire world of coming punishment and to also give them hope in the future beyond that punishment. This work tells of a time when the entire world system will be replaced, not tweaked, not fixed or honed or refined in any way. It will be completely replaced. The fact that this work teaches about this entire world being replaced shows you that this work has nothing to do with the way of the world. They're two opposite ways. And that should be reflected in the way that every supporter of God's work lives. That should be reflected in our treasure, so to speak. You can see that also in Matthew 6. Verses 19 through 20 talk about accumulating all the treasure you can spiritually. Piling up treasure, mountains of treasure spiritually. And not so much physically, because all of that disappears. When we try to hoard physical resources to ourselves, it often doesn't work out so well. It doesn't ever seem to provide the satisfaction that we're looking for. But when we dive into God's truth, when we get into the spiritual, we are fulfilled. I think we've all probably experienced that at some time or another. The contrast between those two things. Maybe we get a little too materialistic and spend a bit too much money on things that we think will make us happy, only to realize that, like a shiny new toy, those things soon lose their luster. We probably also had days where we just dove into the Bible, dove into all of the different aspects of God's work as far as content on websites and in literature and publications. And we've probably just had a way more satisfying, fulfilling day when we spent our time like that. Matthew 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If we have an abundance of spiritual treasure, if our mind is constantly on the way of the work instead of on the way of the world, we'll be so much more excited about the work. Our heart will truly be in the work if that's where we're directing our resources. And I'm really just mainly talking about the time. There's a lot of ways to support God's work, but what about the time we spend? It can be quite corrective to try to tally up the time you spend day by day. I've done that before. Just said, here's how many minutes I spent on this activity. Here's how many I spent on this one. And at the end of the day, I looked at that list and was pretty surprised by what I found. It can be so easy to pile up minutes upon hours of wasted time. Time spent on the way of the world. And those are never the most fulfilling, productive days. Immersing ourselves in the way of the world never seems to pay off or be worthwhile. In fact, throughout the Bible, God urges us to do the opposite, to actually come out of the world. Yes, we live in the world physically, but it doesn't mean we have to be fully entrenched in the way of the world. Here is what Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury wrote in John's Gospel, The Love of God. He's referring to Christ saying that his meat is to do the work. "That's my food," Christ said. "My way of life is just to do the work of God with all the passion I possess. That is all I'm here for. That is my main delight, to finish the work the Father has given me to do." This is the key to having passion and high spirits. The work of God has a built-in vision of joy. It always keeps us looking beyond the difficulties of the present and seeing where this is all leading. What difference does it make to miss a meal? Christ wasn't even thinking about physical food. His mind was on why he, the Word, was made flesh. If you get your heart into God's work and give it everything you have, it will give you all the exuberance and joy God has to give us on earth. That's rather inspiring. To understand that if we direct our passions and our time into the work, we will be overflowing with joy. We all have a choice. We can all choose to immerse ourselves in God's truth, constantly be hungry for updates on what is going on in the work, constantly studying our Bibles and filling up on that vision of the future that the work is talking about all the time. When we do work to come out of the world and serve only one master instead of two masters, it does tangibly change our lives. In the January 1964 Good News magazine, the late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's son, Richard Armstrong, wrote about how supporters of the work can be different from the world. There are real ways, noticeable ways, that we can stand out from the world. Not in a way of trying to draw attention to ourselves or bring glory upon ourselves, but these are just ways where our lives are changed, where we do things differently because we are passionate about God's work. Because we have that priority first on the list. One way that we are different from the world, we accept God's correction. We accept God's correction. Is the world teachable? Are the vast majority of the billions of people on the planet actually teachable? Do they have the humility and the open mind that they need to accept the message of God's work right now? Are most people spending most of their time searching for God's truth? Well, of course not. What we often hear in the world, in fact, a common trend today, is that we should just be who we are. Stay the way you are. Don't change for anybody for any reason. You are perfect just the way you are. They would never accept God's correction with that kind of a mentality. In Hebrews 12, starting in verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes about how accepting correction really can make us so special to God. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not you the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." God considers us sons. All mankind has an opportunity to become God's sons according to God's perfect timing. We're all God's sons just by virtue of being created by him. But we become much more so his sons when we start accepting corrections, start making changes, start drawing closer to him, establishing a stronger relationship with him. And if that means giving up some of our old ways, if that means taking correction, even if it can be unpleasant sometimes, it's totally worth it. Being God's sons is totally worth any amount of correction. The correction just shows that God loves us. That's what it's for. Again, if we just think about the physical family parallel there, any parent would correct a child to save that child from doing something self-destructive, to save that child from pain and suffering that could be easily avoided. Correction is love. Yet so often when we think of God and we think of him administering correction, we incorrectly think that it's not loving when he does it. He has children. We are his children. Correction is his expression of love for us. And only those of us who are diving into God's truth and striving to follow Christ today are actually right now open to receiving correction from God. So the first way that supporters of God's work are different from the world is that we accept God's correction. Now, of course, there are plenty of ways we're different. We're just talking about three that are actually quite intertwined, you'll notice. This is not some revolutionary list by any means. The second way that we're different from the world, we are always growing spiritually. We are always growing spiritually. Why is that? Because we love the work. Because the work is where our heart is. Because we're passionate about the work. That's what we choose to spend our time on. And as an automatic result of just spending enough time on the work, we learn to love it so much more. And when we love it, God blesses us. Let's just look at that. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 shows us how. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We can constantly grow in grace and knowledge. Constantly developing more of God's character, that perfect, holy, righteous character. As we look into the Bible, as we learn more about who God is, as we learn more about our potential as his sons, we can grow in knowledge. Of course, when we study more into the Bible, we'll understand so much more of it. When we're accepting God's correction, when we have that open mind and we keep on studying, of course, we'll always be growing spiritually. And just a third and final point here, from me at least, about this. We recognize the authority of the Bible. So you see here pretty closely intertwined points. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Take note. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not just the verses we want to cherry pick that make us feel good or that already fit with our beliefs. Every single word of the Bible is inspired by God. We don't reject any of it. That is very different from the world, even from religious people in the world. The work that this church does is clearly separate from the world. There's no mistaking that. There is no other place that actually puts value on every last word of the entire Holy Bible. That is a way that makes us different from the world. It says here that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. You see, that's where God's church gets its beliefs. Straight out of the Bible. If the Bible doesn't say it, we don't believe it. We don't just make things up. We don't just use human reasoning to come up with what we believe. It also says that Scripture is profitable for reproof, which is a type of correction, really. It's about really deeply proving what we believe, being convicted by what we study. Do you think a lot of people out there today are taking to heart what they are reading in the Bible, if they even read it at all? Are they really striving to change their lives based on what they read in the Bible? Here it says that all Scripture is also profitable for correction, which was in the first point. We accept God's correction. And also, Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Like I said, we're always growing spiritually. We're learning more about God so we can become more like God. That's actually going to be the goal of all mankind one day, becoming just like God. They might not care about that right now, but they soon will. Matthew 5, verse 48 says, "Become," it should read, "you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." It's about becoming perfect. Today, as we support the work, the more passionate we are for it, the more we dive into the work, the more we are slowly becoming perfect. These are just three ways that we can be different from the world as a natural result from trying to be separate from the world, trying to live the way of the work. There's an article that I'll put in the show notes by Mr. Brad McDonald titled "The Way of the Work." We're striving to live that way instead of the way of the world. And naturally, it does make us very different. We accept God's correction. We are always growing spiritually. We recognize the authority of the Bible. And like Mr. Fleury said in that quote earlier, if you get your heart into God's work and give it everything you have, it will give you all the exuberance and joy God has to give us on earth. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.